can't remember where we stopped. I'm sure it wasn't very far. Oh, I saw that piece on the morning show. Did you see it, Harry? Huh?
I saw it.
It was real short, but it was real. It's. They said what I wanted. They said, "But we all killed them." Yeah, I think they'll use. I bet they use a different segment.
I can't hear you.
I saw this morning this on CBS, the morning show, that the segment about what I said about the passion, about the movie. These guys were all. The purpose of that they interviewed me was about the marketing, but they only talked to me about this one segment that said about the Jews killing Jesus. And I said, of course they did. But so did the Romans, so did his disciples, so did you, so did I. We all killed him. That was the... It was pretty...
That was cool saying the disciples.
I hope I said the disciples. Now that you say that, I can't remember.
You did say that.
Huh?
You did.
I did say the disciples?
For sure.
You said a good thing.
Because I remember,
But it was...
Yeah, it puts it on another level.
Yeah, it was... It was different. They probably will.
Bart Weiss and Jeffrey Weiss are both particularly interested in what your take was.
Oh, the Weisses. All right, let's go in to Jude chapter... verse... Huh? Did I say Leviticus? All right, take it, big guy. Jude, I'm sorry. I get Jude and Leviticus mixed up. What?
It's a good thing you're not a 747 kid.
It's a good thing I'm not a lot of things. Let's start in verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the two things, denying the Lord doesn't mean saying he doesn't exist. It's that Greek word arni. It's, remember, to deny, as where Christ said to deny us, did not deny ourselves, is the word apordiomai, which means to abandon. Here the word deny is the Greek word arniomai, which means to dam up. We deny Christ by damming him up in us by giving breath to what our mind says, our sensuality. Everybody got that? And remember the word Lord there? Was the word despotes. And it's the one who has absolute power. It's always used of God the Father in the New Testament. Oh, it denies the Gnostic idea that remember, did we talk about that? That Christ was just like the rest of us, and then the Holy Spirit came on him at his baptism, and then was with him up until he's crucified, and then the Holy Spirit left him. And so it's the idea that Jesus had to be born again in hell, which is now one of the new word faith theology BS. And it's important to understand the Trinity, because if you understand properly the Trinity, then you won't get fouled up in all these idiotic theologies. But anyway, I don't want to go into that. We'll do that some other time. Verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Remember, there were 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 50. And so it's calculated there were somewhere between 3 and 6 million people that came out of Egypt, came out of the world. Only two made it to the promise. It's estimated there were 25 million people at the time of the flood. Only 8 were saved. And then besides all that, in the New Testament, there's never anything about an end-time revival. That's what they were trying to show this morning, that there's these 6 jillion Christians want to see, they're going to marketing this film to. Well, I hope that's true. I hope there are 6 jillion Christians, whatever a jillion is. But the scriptures are clear. There isn't an end-time revival. There's an end-time apostasy. There's an end-time turning away from faith and putting it, not turning away from faith and it becoming, you know, converting to Islam or something. There's a turning away from truth and prostituting the true gospel. Does everybody understand? What are you doing?
I was thinking about that guy that's coming next week. This is an article on the New Yorker, the timing of it all.
Why would people want to be?
Because they love themselves. So anything that benefits you.
In
verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, and yet reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto judgment of that of the great day. So he's first, he uses the example of rebellion of all of the Jews that left the world, and now he's using another example of rebellion about the angels who left their first estate. Now the whole idea of rebellion in this context here is revealed in it's called going after strange flesh. You remember in Genesis 6 where the angels fornicated or had sex with the women, and the race of giants were born. There's another interpretation of both Jude here and in 2 Peter that talks about that this destruction here is talking about the first flood, which was the destruction of the age of Lucifer. But either way they were going after and going towards something that was forbidden to them, just as we are forbidden, just as Adam and Eve were forbidden of eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Their rebellion went towards that. The angels left their first estate and went towards the forbidden flesh. Okay, now the idea then, what is forbidden to you and I? How do you talk about religion with regard to this is forbidden? It's a whole different world, because if I talk to you about it being forbidden, then what you resist, you empower. And we've seen that a million times in addiction. Now, what we are to resist, or what is forbidden to true believers, is yourself. And all the addictions, and all the drug addicts, and all the alcoholics, and all of the bulimics, and all of the other kind of weird symptoms that are now present are simply the revelation that you're addicted to yourself.
How and why is addiction to self so evil?
Because we all died on the cross. The human race died.
Those that are of his kingdom have to have been born again. Of a different order, of a different class.
And he uses Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now it talks about, so we've got the Jews going, leaving the world, the angels, which didn't keep their own habitation, Sodom and Gomorrah, which were destroyed for all the things that we know about. Now he says, in the same way, where it says in verse 8, likewise. Likewise is a Greek word which means in the same manner. So in the same manner as all of these examples that he's just put forth, in the same manner, also, these filthy dreamers. Notice filthy isn't in the text. In your Bible, filthy is in italics. So these dreamers. You know where I'm going, don't you? Gary started smiling when I started. Huh? These dreamers. It's a word which it's a metaphor. It's really the verb to dream is anupniazo. But here it's a metaphor. It's used as an adjective. It's to be beguiled with the sensual images and carried away from truth and faith. Beguiled by the sensual images, mostly coming from within your own mind. You call them ideas. To be beguiled with a sensual image is, it doesn't matter. I mean, oh, I need a new car. Oh, I need a new coat. Oh, I need to have that. I need this. I want that. It's never ending. But that's easy to see that that's ridiculous. They just they're actually showing an ad of like this guy that's an assistant chef, and the ad says that this whoever, one of these credit thingies. Saved him $13,000 in interest. How did an assistant chef get can you imagine what the principal is if he saved $13,000 in interest? Another woman I heard interviewed had a credit card debt of $188,000, and she was like a clerk at Walmart or something. Can you see why debt is so evil? It's a weight that keeps you from being free. That's why I hope you're still doing the First Fruit meetings, right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, the idea that believers would be in debt is asinine. But what's worse is if you're a believer to then go into debt, it's doubly asinine. It's simply the evidence that you're not content with what you have. Remember I went to Greece in 93 or whenever it was? And the whole country there, 92% of all homes are paid for. Almost 100% of all cars are paid for. Because it's their culture not to go in debt.
I'm not saying that we should all move to Greece, but well, I wouldn't be too bad. But the wages are correspondingly less also. But the idea, just stop a minute and think. The idea of going into debt, I'm talking to all of us, it's got to stop. If you're in debt, you've got to get out of debt.
Dreamers here reminds me of the one about awake, you fall asleep, and life chasing vain shadows.
Okay, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Defile is just means to pollute or sully or contaminate. The flesh is it's the normal word sarx, but here it means the person. You as a being are defiled from who you are in the spirit by your filthy dreamers.
You're touching the flesh.
You're giving breath to the flesh. You're giving it importance. They despise dominion. Despise just means to make null or void for them. Dominion is kuriotes, or again, the same. It's this idea, the divine majesty, the divine order. And they speak evil of dignities. Speak evil is blasphemo. Dignities is doxa. So the idea is, by their dreams, by their ideas, by their not being content with the things that they have, they are despising, they're polluting and despising God. They're not polluting God, but they're despising dominion. Is that clear? It's so simple. What?
This is like if I'm so busy, you know, that I don't have time for him.
I don't get the dominion part of this. Despising dominion.
Dominion is if all things are finished and everything is perfect and he is Lord, then you are, by your ideas, you're wanting to change, you're needing more, then you are despising dominion. You're despising by your saying, by your words, thoughts, and actions, that Jesus is not Lord.
You know, Lordship.
Lordship, remember.
Because this kurietes is the same as like kurie.
Right.
You know,
like he despised the shame, we despise the order.
Is that clear to everybody?
We've been working with this doctor that we guest house over here in Lakewood. They started out real low, but then after about 3 or 4 years, I mean, he became like real rich. And they got into this material stuff. You couldn't go into any of the rooms. It was like they couldn't get enough stuff. She's always buying, you know, it's like, it was crazy. They got into that material stuff. And then they'd have a new TV for a couple of months or so, and they'll chunk it or whatever. Get another one. Crazy.
Oh, you can be like Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn never wears used socks, for instance. He's got over 200 pairs of shoes. His suits cost $6,000 a piece. Lives in an $8.5 million house. We just found a ranch for how much? $3 million that he bought. When's enough?
Did you see the interview with Mel Gibson the other night?
No.
It's wonderful. There's a section there where he's explaining to Diane what his motivation is, and he said, "At an early age, the world went here and gave me everything." He said, I've been to the top of the world, and it doesn't satisfy me. It's not enough.
Who said that?
No, Gibson.
It's like more meaning.
It's like she asked him if he was going to lose, you know, everything in this movie. He said, "I don't care. I was very happy as a garbage man. I don't care."
Well, that's enough for today. Remember, it's only by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, that you can say Jesus is Lord. Because to say Jesus is Lord means it's not just saying the words, it's saying it with your being. I mean, we are so used to thinking about what we say is our words. It's much more in the ancient times. I mean, it's you said by yourself. It's like praying in the name of Jesus. Now, praying in the name of Jesus is repeating His name. That's not what that means. It means that you pray in Him, in His nature, in His, because He is you. And there is no more of this mind in the interference. It's the idea of what. I'm fascinated with the ancient theology, the ancient things, as you know, and because I guess I'm ancient. But the whole idea of pictographs. When I was a child, it was the Indian form of early writing in all of Arizona and all around where I lived. There were pictographs that were etched into the sandstone and other rocks, and it just fascinated me because I knew they weren't just some crude thing that some in ignoramus was just playing. There was something there. And then when in the what do you call it, the Egyptian hieroglyphics, for thousands of years no one could understand hieroglyphics because it stopped being the language of Egypt. And then they found the Rosetta Stone. And the Rosetta Stone translated from the different languages, and part of it was hieroglyphics. And it's like, it's the same idea. The hieroglyphics is a form of an alphabet. It's the idea that the alphabet is the nature of the thing. And so it communicates to you on a different level than simple words do. Well, that's what we must do with regard to the Word of God. We must communicate Him on a different level by our very essence, by our being. That's why my prayers, or our prayers, always, be Thou made flesh in me. I have no will but Thine. I have no life but Thee. What happens to me is unimportant. And then these crap, I mean all this stuff that your mind does these things, I mean, they are as dung. I hate cell phones. I hate cell phones unless I need one or need to get in touch with somebody.
It was kind of nice to have that rising, kind of a theme music in the background as you reached your...
I'm going to bring a gun.
Shoot the cell phone.
And see if my aim is still good enough to shoot just the cell phone instead of shooting Gary. I used to be a pretty good shot. Well, I probably lost it, though.
Yeah.
So I'd probably hit Gary, in his elbow or something. Anyway... Am I communicating what I'm trying to say about the how you communicate Him? You don't do it with just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. You do it by, I don't know.
Also, we're living letters. So that's
like, yeah, that's we're living letters. Yeah, that's great. What you say you are speaks so loudly I can't hear what you say you are.
Yeah. I don't think that was quite right.
Huh? What you are speaks so loudly I can't hear what you say you are.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Never
mind. I don't
there
know.
There could be all kinds of variations on that. I'm going to write a couple of them down.
Well, I say what you said was. What I heard you.
Anyway, that guy from... If you haven't gotten an email... The one you sent out, I wish... what's her name? His wife. Would send it to everybody? Or Carolyn? Okay, there's an email about what sort of a schedule of activities that Harry wrote,
oh, yeah.
And I changed slightly about
the guy from the New Yorker magazine is going to be here for 5 or 6 days. You haven't seen it? Okay, will you send it to her?
Late last night.
Did you send it to Carolyn?
Yes, I did. And to John.
And to John Rutledge?
And to John Rutledge, and Joy Senna, and Gary, and Judy, and Kevin.
But you didn't send it to everybody?
No. And Kevin, okay. And Angela, and Pete.
Would you get a copy of it? Would you send it to everybody in the Trinity thing, or if you don't have that mailing list, Joy Senna does?
So what did it say?
Oh, there's this guy from the New Yorker magazine is coming on next Wednesday evening, and he is going to be here for 5 or 6 days. He's going to stay in the back house, and he is writing a feature on Trinity Foundation. And I just talked about schedule activities and stuff like that. Okay?
Everybody
don't
feel their worst
behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
the email said. No, it doesn't say anything about that. It just talks about taking people to dinner and stuff.
Isn't that about the night that Passion Week comes out?
I don't know.
Yeah, it comes out next Wednesday.
But
that means Gary and Judy and the
Rubbages
will be taking, like, me and stuff to dinner.
I hope so. That's what my intent was, that you be the center of attention for the whole week.
Being nice to me.
Right.
He's never met you. We could just...
Yeah, this is old Anthony. Take it, big guy.